for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, August the 31st, 2007. Dr. William Null is the speaker of this service teaching on conditions for change.
Today we're going to talk about conditions for change. You know, we all want to change. We want to change for the better. And just remember this, that only the Holy Spirit, only Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit can change the human heart. You can't change your heart. God will change your heart. He's given you authority over the flesh. You can stand against the flesh. But He will change your heart, heal you, and set you free. And today we're going to talk about conditions for change. I used to call it conditions for deliverance. This first book I wrote this book in 1985, 83, 84, 85, somewhere along in there. And I'd sit up from 10 o'clock till 4 in the morning writing it, you know. And I got it written. All but the last chapter, How You Walk in Freedom. And I wrote the last chapter about 10 times. And each time I got through writing it, I would read it, and I was so proud of it. And the Holy Spirit would say to me in the real sweetest little voice, "That's real nice legalism." And basically it was a bunch of rules that you had to do, what you do and what you don't do. Go to the Bible and look at all the things Paul said do, and all the things he said don't do. God made me realize that Christianity is not a rule book. You don't. Now, the rule book is important because if you get into a question when you're being led by the Spirit, you check it out with the rule book if there's a question in your mind. It's like discerning a prophecy. The first thing you do when you discern a prophecy, you say, does it agree with the letter and the spirit of the Word of God? What does that mean? That means you look at it and you read it, and when you get to that verse that speaks of it, you read about 10 verses above it and 10 verses below it to get the context in which it's flowing and see if the prophecy agrees with the Word of God. If it does not agree with the Word of God, it's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and He will not contradict Himself. I had a lady come to me and told me that she'd been prophesied to that she should divorce her husband and marry this other man who was married. And she was getting ready to call a lawyer. I said, well, that's not a true prophecy. Oh, it sounded right to me. I said, it's patently against the Word of God. But the truth is, she won't divorce her husband and marry the other man. And she found somebody who would prophesy that to her. She went from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting until she found somebody with a Jezebel spirit. A man with this Jezebel spirit who prophesied what she wanted to hear. And she did divorce her husband and chase after this other poor married man who was not interested in her and told him that it was God's will that he marry her. And he said, honey, God's got to work on both ends of the chain. I hadn't heard from him, and I'm not going to marry you. Then she got mad at God. Praise God. Today we're going to talk about conditions for change. And the first thing you got to do is you got to be honest. You got to be honest with God and yourself. You know, God already knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. Sometimes you're deceived and you don't know. Which says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, that word, that's the Old Testament word for heart, which really means your soul. He's not talking about your spirit. He's talking about your soul there. And it will lie to you and deceive you. Ah, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. So God knows. And you must come to the knowledge that you by yourself can't conquer the problems with your flesh. For I know that in me, and in my flesh, nothing dwells good. That to will is present with me, but now how to perform what is good I cannot find. Philippians say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you can stand against the flesh, and then you call out to Jesus Christ and ask Him to strengthen you against it. But know that in your flesh, you know, I do a teaching on dying to self. You know, Jesus said that you got to lay down your life, take up your cross and follow me daily. And the life He's talking about there is suke life or soulish life. And take up your cross and follow me daily. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so you must be honest. Honest about why you want deliverance, about humbling yourself, repentance from sin, hurts and unforgiveness, involvement in the cult, and in sexual sin. These are the six big things that you need to look at when you say, I want deliverance. I want to change the way I live. I want to change the way I respond to my mate. I respond to people around me. I respond to my children. I don't want to respond in anger and rage and frustration anymore. I want to respond in love. I don't want to respond in rage and selfishness. I want to respond in love. You need to look at these. Why do you want deliverance? Honest. God loves an honest heart, but a lie is an abomination to Him. Proverbs 16, 17a. Says there's six things that God hates. Yes, seven are abomination to Him. A proud look and a lying tongue. Also a witness, a false witness that speaks lies. And one who spoils discord among the brethren. God knows you. I want you to know here in 1 Kings, says, then you hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give to everyone according to his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. He said, Solomon is praying to God the dedication of Solomon's temple. In 1 Kings 9:29, also in 2 Chronicles, the same thing is said. God alone knows the hearts of men. The devil can't read your mind. Demons can't read your mind. They've watched you long enough that they can anticipate what they think you're going to do by watching. They aren't dumb. I get somewhat amused at people who have names for Satan in which they impend his intellectual capacity. God says you don't do that. You say the Lord rebuke you. But they call him, they impinge the way he walks, the way he talks, and other uncomplimentary statements. God said, you don't do that. You just say, the Lord rebuke you. He says, they are brute beast, speaking of you, when you impugn Satan's intellectual ability and the way he walks and talks and looks. God calls him his glorious one. But he's given you authority to rebuke him and to stand against him. But it's not up to you to criticize him. But God knows your heart. Satan can't read your mind. He'd like to. Looked at that. Your reasons for wanting to deliverance is to glorify God. In Isaiah 43:7, he says, everyone who is called by name, whom I've created for my glory. Or he created you for his glory. Hebrews 13:15, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So you can glorify Him by praising Him. Now you can compare Psalm 119, 108, Jeremiah 33:11, and Hosea 14:2. And these are all verses that refer to the sacrifice of praise. In Hosea it says, the heifers of your lips. That praising God is an acceptable sacrifice to glorify Him. The second is to be obedient to Him. And here we have some examples. In Mark 21, 32 and 33. Now when His own people heard about this, they set out to lay hold of Him. But they said He's out of His mind. You know, His mother and His brother say He's gone crazy. Let's go get Him and bring Him home. And so 33, the multitude was sitting around Him and said to Him, look, your mother and your brothers outside looking for you. And He answered and said, who is my mother or my brothers? For whosoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, my sister, and my mother. That's interesting, isn't it? That happened. Now, Jesus had just cast out a bunch of demons, and he was walking by, and a lady in the crowd said, and it happened as he spoke these things, a certain little woman from the crowd raised a voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. He said, but he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus said, if you hear the word of God and keep it, you are more blessed than his mother. And so you want to be delivered so you can be obedient to God. Now this is a very interesting one here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or iniquity. Does that frighten you? If it doesn't, it should. There are people casting out demons, healing folks, doing mighty miracles. But Jesus said, I don't know you. I'm honoring my word. You're speaking forth my word, and I'm honoring it, but the person who's speaking it, not obedient to me, they practice lawlessness on the side. We've just seen a mighty pastor who was a homosexual on the side. Great signs and miracles in his ministry. He fell. I'm glad I don't have to judge him. And lastly is to bear fruit to God. When you say bear fruit to God, what do you mean? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Now, this is not exact. What do others see in you? Do they see love, peace, and joy? That's what they should see. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When people see to you, when they look at you, do they see love, peace, and joy? They say, man, he's got something I want. Or they see somebody with a scratched up old feeling, carrying their rule book and saying, you didn't do this and this and this. You're insane, you sinner. Or what? And they got a mouth like they're sucking on a green persimmon. Whatever he's got, I don't want that. And so you need for people to see love, peace, and joy. And your relationship to others. I don't know where that word brain got in there, but your relationship to others should be long-suffering, kindness, and goodness. Long-suffering. Are you willing to be patient with your wife, your husband? He's got a besetting sin that really irritates you. Are you willing to be long-suffering with him? Give him another chance? Or are you going to jump on his back and give him what for? And he can answer you back, you see, and y'all can have a good time fighting. And scare all your kids to death, and the neighbors out there saying, man, if that's what being a Christian is, I don't think I want that. Kindness and goodness. You know, those are two hard things to define, to be kind and to be good. Now, in Luke 18:9, Jesus said to the man, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. And you look at Exodus 34:6, God passed before Moses and proclaimed his name, which is his nature. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. I don't want to get started on that. I'll be there an hour. So we're going to move on. And the last is faithfulness, gentleness, and temperance. That should show in your relationship to God. Are you faithful? What does faithful mean? Now, the same word there that is defined faithful can be defined faith. In the Old King James, it says faith. The New King James, it says faithful. If you look it up, faithful, the synonyms are fidelity, dependable, fidelity, trustworthy, like the bank. You know, First Fidelity Bank and Trust down the street there. You know that if you take your money down there and put it in a savings account, you can go there in a year and it's still going to be there. You trust it's going to be there. You know if you didn't trust it was going to be there, you wouldn't put your money in there. You know most folks got more faith in their automobile brakes than they got in God. Man,
they wouldn't get in that car if they thought the brakes wasn't going to work and it wouldn't stop. They wouldn't get anywhere in a car. Well, and so, faithfulness. Are you faithful? Are you dependable? Are you trustworthy? Pastor asked you to come at 6 o'clock in the morning and set up the chairs. And can he arrive at 7 o'clock and be absolutely sure those chairs are going to be set up? That is a dependable, trustworthy, and trust you. That is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness or meekness, what is that? That is hard word to find. It's best defined by strength under control. Moses was the meekest of all men, but nobody ran over Moses. But he had his strength under control, and he had a relationship with God because of it. Meekness means that you're strong, but it's under control, and you're not going to fall off the handle, go off into a rage or a fit, have a temper tantrum. Temperance. That's a good old-fashioned word. It means self-control. It was used in the early 1900s in the temperance movement was to abolish alcohol. But it means to be able to control yourself. It's self-control. Control your temper. Control your eating. Control your indulgences. Control your sexual lust. Control your temper. Your criticism. You don't do those things. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And that is what you want to bear to God. That His name is glorified. And His name is glorified that you bear much fruit. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. And by this, I will be glorified. That's transliterated a little bit, but it's from 1 John. And to abide in Him means that you keep His commandments. That if you abide, you keep my commandments, you will abide in me and I will abide in you. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. By this we know that he abides in us and by the Spirit whom he's given us. If you desire to change and continue to live for the world, you'll have difficulty maintaining your deliverance. You know, you come down here and get all these demons cast out of you. You got to change the way you live, folks. You can't go home and step back into the same pattern of living. If you've had a drinking problem and you get delivered from drinking, you don't go back down to the bar to see your friends. Well, I want to go down and I want to witness to them. You let God send somebody else down there. You don't need to go down there. You don't need to go down there. You need to go someplace else. The seduction. If you've been delivered from whoremongering or pornography, you don't go back over to the rack to see over there to look and see what kind of trash they're publishing now. And say, yeah, devil, you ain't got no there. What's this in this Playboy now? You got to change the way you live. You got to go home and get all that trash out of your house. You go put the filter on your internet. Adulterers and adulteresses. Isn't that interesting? God says that idolatry, the love of the world, He says is adultery to Him. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. God says that when you make yourself a friend of the world, you become an adulterer or an adulteress. He equates it with sexual sin. He equates idolatry and whoredom as the same. He always has, all the way through the Bible. You can't serve two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to one and despise it. You can't serve God and Mammon. That word Mammon is an interesting word. It's commonly translated money. But it came from the Greek that meant that which you put your trust in. But what do most people put their trust in? The almighty dollar bill. They think if you got enough money, you can buy anything. Can't buy God. If you don't believe that, just go down to some of these churches and see all these things have been given with a big plaque on it. Dedicated, a little bitty letter, dedicated to the glory of God. Bye, and they got this letter about this big, John B. Brown. You know who's getting the glory. And for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Deliverance is for the desperate, those who are willing to fill their life with Jesus. Matthew 12:43. Now this 44 is not, out of chapter 5. I don't know how that got in there. I don't know how that verse got in there. I got to send it back, have my secretary take it out. I had forgotten about it.
humble yourself before God and die the flesh. So first you got to be honest. Honest why you want deliverance. Honest with yourself. Honest about your sin. But why you want deliverance? You want deliverance to glorify God. Next you got to humble yourself before God and deny your flesh. Surely God scorns us scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Though the Lord is on high, yet He regards the lowly, but the proud He knows from far. I like the NIV better. It says that the proud He puts far off. James says, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud. That word resist means stand in full battery against, but gives grace to the humble. Peter says, so likewise you submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all you be submitted to another. Be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. This right here, that verse means a great deal to me. Once, about 15 or 20 years ago now, pastor asked me, we had a young man who came into the church and he wanted to be on the praise team. And the praise leader had some checks in her spirit about it and she said no. So he went around the church and he gathered up some people who could sing. And he was having praise sessions over at one of the members' houses. And the pastor asked me if I would go there and grant and give elder oversight to this rump praise group. I wasn't an elder, but I agreed to go. And it was on Saturday night. It was cold. It was almost 0 degrees. And when I got there, I could hear them singing in the street, and they were in the basement. And so I went into the basement, and they were jumping around and singing and hollering, but there was something there that bothered me. I couldn't figure out what it was. The spirit wasn't right. They were singing all the songs. And people were trying, but there was something. So I sat down over in the corner and I just began to pray. And God gave me a verse to read. You have to get the context of this. They're singing and I just got up. I said, I have a verse to read that God has given me. And they said, okay. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of God and He will lift you up. Now there was dead silence in that place. And all these people looked at me and I looked at them. And thank God for Pat Fernandez, who was her home, and she strummed a chord on the guitar, and she said, all I want to hear right now is repenting and lamenting. And everybody got down, except the praise leader, and began to weep before God. And a spirit of repentance came into that place. And after about 5 or 10 minutes, I'm not sure, I got up, and begin to sing. Now, if any of y'all have ever heard me sing, I sing off key and out of tune. I have no sense of singing. But I began to sing, and everyone else got up, and they joined me and began to sing. And then suddenly in the back of the room, this woman said, my God, He's healed me! She had a laryngectomy. Her larynx had been taken out for cancer and cough. Had restored her larynx. And there was lots of other things. And this young lady came over and said, Doc, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. Well, I can't talk to you here. I got to go. So I went up to the living room. That wasn't private. And I went out in my car in this cold, freezing weather. And I cut the heater on. And I'm listening to her confess to me all the sin that she was from another town. And she had a relationship with a married man, and then she was trying to break free of it, and she wanted me to pray for her to break free because God had convinced her it was wrong and she had to get rid of it today. And so I prayed for her and I looked out and there were 6 other people standing in line out there in zero well, waiting for their chance to get in the car. Well, when I got through with the confessional booth and went back inside, Pat had stopped the praise leader from praying for people and suggested he sit over there and be quiet and that from now forth she was going to lead praise, and he got mad and left and went to somebody else's house. And he had this praise group, became a secondary praise group for the church. But this young man, he went over there, and then he went to another church to lead praise. But that verse means a lot to me. I'll always remember that. Because I was obedient to God, scared to death to stand up and read that to a people who will consider themselves in the Spirit praising God. And I'm telling them they're double-minded to cleanse your hands, you sinners, and mourn and weep. And
I thought they were going to throw me out the building, and maybe they all stared at me. But God says, humble yourself. Well, you can humble yourself by fasting. Two ways. You can humble yourself by fasting or by becoming a servant. And the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from him, and those days they will fast. So Jesus said you're going to fast. Matthew says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. For they disguise their faces, they may appear to men to be fat, and so they have their reward. Where does it say that being hungry will fast you, will humble you? It says it in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he says, so he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, that you might know, as your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When Jesus quoted this during temptation, he used the word rhema, which means. Now here David says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Isn't that interesting? Here David was praying for people who had returned evil for good, and he was fasting, wearing sackcloth, praying for God's mercy, and God returned those blessings into David's heart. And you see, that's the law of sowing and reaping. As you sow, so shall you reap. God is not mocked. Now, most preachers quote that with the collection. Now, only one verse and one set of sowing and reaping scriptures in the Bible refer to money. All of the rest of them refer to blessings, judgment, condemnation. You sow judgment and condemnation, you by the same measure you reap judgment and condemnation. You judge your employer, and God will judge you by the same measure you judge him. It's not your job to judge him. It's God's job. You get out and talk about him, then that's going to come back in your life by the same measure. That is the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Servanthood. A man made himself, Jesus made himself a servant. And so when he washed their feet and taken their garments, he sat down and said, do you not know what I've done? You call me teacher. And I say, it's well, so I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And most assuredly I say to you, a servant is no greater than his master, nor he who is sent is greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You'll be blessed as you become a servant for others. Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be served. And so you repent of your sins. And you humble yourself, then you repent of your sins and the sins of your fathers. Now, repent's an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it means to turn away. In the Greek, it means to change your mind. In the Greek, it means that suddenly something you've been doing, something clicks, and you say, you know, that's not right. You get convicted in your spirit. You say, it's not right. In the Hebrew, it means you take a 180-degree turn, and you walk away from it, and you don't do it anymore. Daniel said, O Lord, according to all your righteous, I pray, let your anger and fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Lamentations said, our fathers have sinned, and we are no more. We bear their iniquities. These are two verses that say that you bear the iniquities of your fathers, punishment for their sin. Jesus said, repent when he started his public ministry. Time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And then Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance. In Jeremiah, when he speaks of repentance, he said, I knew it was wrong. I was ashamed. I struck my thighs. And I said, oh God, how could I do such a thing? Help me turn away from it. To repent, first thing you've got to do, you've got to acknowledge you've done something wrong. You've got to acknowledge your guilt. If you're stealing, lying on your time card, having a friend clock in for you early, calling in on us and say, I'm sick and taking a sick day because you know if you don't take it, you're going to lose it. Nothing wrong with you. That's stealing. Taking a towel out of the motel, carrying it home with you. I'll always remember I took a towel from the Thomas Jefferson Hotel in Birmingham and I carried it home. And it had the Thomas Jefferson Hotel on it and I washed it and I hung it out to dry. And my father said, I see you're proud of being a thief. Well, everybody does it. Not in my house, they don't do it. When it gets dry, I want you to fold it up, put a dollar trespass offering with it. A dollar? You know, in 1945, a dollar was a lot of money. And mail it back to the manager and apologize for stealing it. And I did that. Because he read the letter and he looked and he made sure I did everything. The manager wrote me a very nice letter. And told me how much the hotel lost from people stealing from them. But you got to acknowledge that you sinned. And you can rationalize your sin and say it's not really sin. You know, the mind can justify anything. And so, to repent first, you got to know you're in sin. That's the reason you say, God, show me if there be any sinful ways within me. And some of us are so demonized that the demon will speak to you and say no. And you think it's the Holy Spirit talking to you. You know, a lot of folks talk to demons and they think it's the Holy Spirit. You know, that's sad, but that's true. Anybody said he hadn't sinned is a lie and the truth isn't in him. That's what 1 John says. God gives repentance. The goodness of God leads you to repentance and he grants it. Romans said, you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Now in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:25, it says, in humility, correcting those who in opposition or rebellion, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they can come to know the truth. See, God grants repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. You couldn't interpret that word deliverance. That is the first interpretation listed in Strong's. Not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death. And here Jeremiah says, surely after my returning I repented. After I was instructed, I struck myself on the thigh. I was ashamed, yes, even humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. When you feel that way, you probably come into repentance. You admitted that you've got a problem, and you need God's help. And you ask God, touch me and turn me from... And the fourth thing is confess your sins. 1 John 1:9-10 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So you confess your sin, your unforgiveness, your hurts, and you forgive. If you don't forgive, God don't forgive you. Well, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. And whenever you stand praying, and if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, you remember here, Jesus said to the disciples, he's talking to them, he said, if your brother sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times returns and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. And then Peter, a few days later, said, now, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Up to 7 times. Isn't that what you said, Lord? Peter came to him and said, Lord, I shall forgive my brother. 7 times I forgive him. The Lord said, I didn't say to you up to 7 times, but 70 times 7, which is a number which says that that is a number that you should continue to forgive. But if you refuse to forgive, you remain in your sin and God's not going to hear you. Isaiah says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God and your sins have hidden his face from you so he won't hear you.
Psalm says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God won't hear. You know that forgiveness, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness means to give up the right to revenge. It means to give up the right to see somebody pay for what they did to you. That's what forgiveness is. You know, when you forgive a debt, you don't expect to be repaid back. You know? When the bank forgives you a loan, you don't have to pay them. But when you forgive a sin, that person doesn't have to pay for the sin. That ain't fair. They don't deserve that. You didn't deserve forgiveness either. You want to judge your neighbor? Fine. The same measure you judge him, God's going to judge you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Forgive is to cease to feel resentment against or count wrong, to give up claim for resistal or retribution or to offend. That is out of the dictionary. Retribute means to make, I can't say them words. To forgive is to give up the right for revenge. Remember, forgiveness belongs to God and vengeance belongs to God. If you want vengeance, you're a thief. You're stealing from God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Romans 12:18. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And there you'll find it in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. How you make it come to pass? Well, forgiveness is an act of your will. It's something you decide you're going to do. You decide you're going to forgive somebody. And you say, I forgive.
I've done that and I still get mad when I sin.
Okay. You need to pray and ask God to heal you. You need to pray and ask God to heal the hurt.
And the enemy will use that hurt to stir up resentment, desire for revenge and judgment. It ain't right. Look at that. Look at that, what's happening. Look how they're getting away with it. And the enemy will tell you those things and stir you all up. And so you need to pray for them. You heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be poured into your bosom. For the same measure that you use will be measured back to you. Was he talking about money there? No. He's talking about loving your enemies, doing good to your enemies, blessing your enemies. And as you do that, it'll come back to you. And God will heal you. How you know when God heals you? When you see your enemy get hurt and you have compassion on him, you know you've been healed. God wants to be merciful. And he wants you to pray for him to be merciful. Now, he's absolutely just. He is absolutely just. He knows everything. He knows all the conditions. And he will make a just judgment on every sin. On every offense that occurred to you, God will make a just judgment. And that's His job, and I thank God it's His and not mine. You pray and ask the Father to have mercy on them, not to make them pay for what they did, and as you're merciful to the offender, then God will be merciful to you and heal you. This is a choice you make by an act of will. If you refuse to forgive, then you're in rebellion and will become bitter. And bitterness is like drinking poisoning and expecting the other person to die. And you just keep drinking that poison. Just be bitter and just keep drinking that poison and expect that other person to drop it. He don't drop dead. You're not hurting him. All you're doing is destroying your soul. The root of bitterness will grow down into you and defile you. It will give you cancer. There are two types of idolatry that open you to demonic oppression. They are based on envy, covetousness, selfishness, the magic arts, the occult, and sexual sin. Now, magic arts are the occult. Is the occult. Magic arts is composed of witchcraft, sorcery, and divination. And they are the magic arts. And they have supernatural power. Don't let anybody tell you that the magic arts do not have supernatural power. They do. I can show it to you in the Bible over and over again. And if you practice these things,
It's an abomination to God. You looked at the Ouija board. If you read the horoscope, you know 60% of the people in this country read and believe their daily horoscope? Can you believe that?
I mean, it's based on the kookiest things you can imagine. Extremely complex, but extremely kooky. Based on their position of what they knew about the stars in the year 1000 B.C., then Aristotle and Plato applied physics to it, and around the year 500, 400, I forget exactly, and it has come down to us and basically unchanged since the year 100. And people believe that that affects their lives, and they read it. I'm going to tell you, ladies, when you get to that horoscope page in the newspaper, you turn quickly. Well, I don't believe it. I just read it to see what it says. Ooh. I'm just curious. Ooh. I'm going to tell you, how would you feel if your husband came in and said to you, baby, I was coming home, you know, and I'm passing by the house of prostitution up there. You know, I never been up there before. And I'm just curious about it. It didn't mean anything to me. I went up there. It didn't mean anything to me. That's all right, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to, how many ladies think that'd be all right? That's how God feels about it. He don't think it's all right either. We had a spiritual warfare class that I was teaching, and I came in one day, and the whole class was at the far end of the church, standing there around this table, except one elder, and he was sitting by the door. And I said, "What is it?" He said, "Johnny brought her Ouija board in." I said, "Really?" And when I started praying as I went back and binding it, and somebody, "It's not working anymore. It's not moving anymore." And we had a little discussion and teaching on the Ouija board, and I cast the Ouija spirit out of everybody in there, including the elder sitting at the door. Because just being there opens you to it. I had a young lady, Lee Nystrom tells a story of a young girl who was at a slumber party. And they decide to play Mary Worth. And that's when you get the mirror and you stand in front of it and say Mary Worth 13 times and the demon appears in the mirror. Well, they got this girl stood in front of the mirror and said it 13 times and the spirit came out of the mirror and played the piano for her. And then it wandered and went into this little girl sitting in the corner over there, jumped on her. And she got up immediately and left the room. Went out to the toughest section of Minneapolis, Minnesota and attached herself to a pimp and became a whore on the street. Her parents would get lured that Jenny was him. They'd go there and they couldn't find her. And Lee came to town and they talked to him about it. So he got a group of people and they fasted and prayed for 3 days or a week. I can't remember. And the girl came home. And they went through deliverance, got a clig. And she said when that spirit came into her, it seemed like she trained all of her life to be a whore or prostitute. Beautiful girl. The sad ending of the story is that the church shot her. Didn't my daughter have anything to do with a girl been a whore in the street for two years, thank you. He was with IBM and they moved out to California and started over again. It got transferred. Because the church absolutely would have nothing to do with the girl. Sadly. Involvement in the magic arts. Deuteronomy 18:9-12. I want you to get your Bibles out and look at this. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. And not shall be found anyone among you makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That means they burned up newborns. Child sacrifice. We do abortions today. We don't. One who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer, one who interprets omens or sorcerer, one who conjures spells, that's a hypnotist, or medium, or spiritualist, the one who calls up the dead. All who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Now get this up here, you see. He says, you shall not follow the abominations of those nations. But down here he says, all who do these things are an abomination. So you want to become an abomination, Lord? Just get into the magic arts. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives him out before you. Well, how is that related to the New Testament? Yeah, he said, I will raise up for them a prophet. Now, the Mohammedans or the Muslims will tell you that's Mohammed. But Peter and Stephen said it was Jesus Christ. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their brethren, and he shall speak, and he shall put words to them that I command. And it shall be that whosoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Well, in Acts, at Peter's testimony, the beautiful gate,
He said the prophet was Jesus Christ. Stephen, in his testimony before the Sanhedrin, he said that this prophet was Jesus Christ.
God raises up Jesus Christ who sends the Holy Spirit through which
you can manifest supernatural power. Through the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Not
through the gifts of the devil.
Now, I want you to look at this. I listed them. The New King James says witchcraft, and hence it uses divination in the King James. The soothsayer says, King James, New King says, soothsayer, hence says observer of times, is to cover or cloud or to act covertly or to practice magic. This is Strong's number in the definition. To interpret omens, an enchanter. That's prognosticate, whisper a magic spell. A sorcerer, to whisper a magic spell, to enchant magic, and overhand to witch. You notice that the word sorcery and witchcraft are used interchangeably. Conjures a spell, that's to whisper or mumble a spell. A charmer, a medium, or consulter of familiar spirits. That's to request of, demand, or ask to inquire of a familiar spirit. There are two words there. A spiritualist, a knowing one, a conjurer, a wizard, and one who calls up the dead, and the word, two Hebrew words there, to follow, to seek, or worship the dead. Necro means dead. Mansa means to follow, seek, or worship. How many of you people know folks pray to dead people? Anybody in here know anybody that prays to dead folks? I mean, you got folks go down and light candles to Mary. And Mary was a wonderful woman of faith. Great, marvelous woman. But she dead. She's not alive. And they got, I used to carry this thing around on my keychain. It was a big silver disc. Had an old man stamped on it, St. Christopher. And he was supposed to protect me when I drove my car. And that's called a talisman. And it is sorcery. In relationship to New Testament believers. And here it is in Acts 3. Moses truly said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says. And it shall be that every soul that does not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed among the people. And this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, from him you shall hear. And they went on to say that Jesus Christ was that prophet. And here in Isaiah, it says, when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and whispers, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on the behalf of the living, to the law and to the testimony? He does not speak according to this word, because there's no light in it. Anytime you get a prophecy that doesn't agree with the word of God, there's no light in it. This is one that you can, Isaiah 47. This is one you can read to people who read the horoscope. Now let your astrologers and stargazers and monthly prognosticators stand up and save you. For what shall come up, For what shall come upon you? Behold, they shall be as a stubble, and the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. That's pretty straightforward about the astrologers and the horoscopes. How many of y'all are bearing birthstones? Did you know that your birthstones are based on your zodiac sign? You know that? They are. That's what they're based on. Your zodiac sign. You bear birthstone, fine. That's what you're going back to. Well, don't mean that to me. It means that to the demons and to God. And I tell you, I remember some people said in the Episcopal Church, and they voted not to ordain homosexuals some time back, and these people said, my God, they have alienated, infuriated 25% of the church. I said, better they don't infuriate and insult God. Magic arts and sexual sin are closely associated in Scripture. Look at this. This is Hosea. He said, whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. That's the soul. Whoredom is sexual sin and idolatry. Wine is drugs. New wine may be fermented or unfermented grape juice. Take away the soul. That word take away is the same word used when it said Enoch walked with God and God took him. So if you have idolatry in your family, like the Masons, you can expect to have learning disabilities. You can expect that your children are going to have a hard time learning to read and to write and to comprehend, and maybe you yourself too. You have any type My people ask counsel of their stocks. That's an idol. Their staff, divination rod, declares unto them, for the spirit of whoredom has caused them to err, to come unto error, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. That's pretty straightforward, people. God considers sex outside of marriage as an act of worship to Satan. It says in Colossians 5:8 and Ephesians 5:5. Let's look at Colossians first. I can quote it, but I'd rather read it. Sometimes when I quote, I transliterate a little bit. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death in your members which are on earth. Fornication. That word is porneo, which is a standard word for all types of sexual immorality. Uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's worship of the devil. Ephesians 5:5. For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so these things are considered by God as idolatry. Sex outside of marriage is an act of worship to Satan. And you look at the penalty. They sacrifice on the mountaintop, burn incense on the hills and oaks and piles in the shadow because that's good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom. How many of you men want your daughters being whores on the street? I don't see any hands. I mean, even want your spouses committing adultery. Therefore, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery for themselves. You are separated with whores, and you sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people who do not understand shall fall, or people be trampled. So, gentlemen, when you're in idolatry, on the internet and pornography, looking at the playboys in the men's room at work, in the break room, you think your wife don't know about it? But they're in the break room. God knows. The devil knows. And he'll put a spirit of whoredom in your daughter. You can read it. It's there. And it's real. What do? Well, obviously, you remove any occult things or books you have in your home. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. Shall not covet the silver or gold that's on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. And you shall not bring abomination in your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it, abhor it, for it's an accursed thing. What's that say? It says if you've got anything dedicated to a foreign god in your house, you burn it. Well, I paid $1,000 for it. I'm going to sell it. You mean you're going to go sell that demon to somebody else? God said, don't do that. Well, I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to throw it away. Well, fine, keep your demon. And your children might have night terrors. You know, I had these people come in and talk to them, and the child was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning screaming. And I talked to them. They were Hispanics, and they had a little Buddha, Aztec sun god calendar. And I said, get that out of the house. But that's our heritage. I thought your heritage was Jesus Christ. Well, it is, but that's some devil worship. You want to commemorate your devil worship? We've broken all those curses that came down through the family line. Now you want to keep something there to bring them back. And so they agreed, and they took it out, and they crushed it and threw it in the trash. And I came down to the public health department the next day, and three of the nurses were waiting on me. Dr. Newell, did you really tell Mrs. So-and-so that Mexican sun god calendar was causing her child to scream at night? You didn't really say that, did you? I said, yeah. It's called night terrors. Oh, no. You can't really believe that. And honey, you don't know me very well. Yes, I told her that. I said, why don't you go call her? She threw it out last night and see what happened. Child's fine. Didn't cry at all last night. I had a little child who went to Cub Scouts. Made a dream catcher. He happened to be part Choctaw Indian. Hung it up over his bed and began having nightmares. His uncle looked at it and said, oh. Told his mother, you know what that is? That's an Indian dream catcher, and he's got Indian heritage. You need to get rid of that thing. So she took it down while he went to school and wrapped it up in plastic, put it in the trash can, and got rid of it. Nightmares ceased. You got any art from the third world? Got any carvings of funny-looking men holding spears and things like that? Those are idols. Frequently, these things are dedicated to the gods. I brought back a bunch of stuff, or my son brought back a bunch of stuff to me from Haiti. And I had it on the shelf down there, and our fine Catholic
lady who cleaned for us. She played bingo all the time. And I put her money under. I was putting her money under one of the bookends. And she told my wife. She said, always have Doc put the money under the bookend. Because when I put it under the bookend, I always win. Get them things out of my house. Burn those rascals that day. I got rid of all that hate that stuff. Well, one day God really convicted me, and we had a house cleaning, and I burned up all my books, and I had an occult library because I thought that I should learn about it. I burned it all up. And my son had a library on mythology, and I burned up all his books, too, and I had to pay him for them because it wasn't right for me to burn up his books. He was a grown adult. I didn't get his permission, but I tell you, that night we burned everything. And I was hauling him in a little tractor down to the fire ring by the river, and I was put a cord of wood down there and poured gasoline on them and started the fires, and I was throwing these books, and my neighbor came down. He said, Doc, is that you? I said, well, yeah, well, how many? He said, are you drunk? No, I'm just burning trash. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting ready to call the fire department. Go back to bed, Wilbur, I'm fine. And so we burned all night. But I cleaned my house out. I could tell you all kind of stories about getting rid of things. And here in Acts, and many as believed came confessing their deeds. And many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together. Now those are Christians in Ephesus. They were practicing magic arts. And they brought their scrolls and books. And they burned them. And the count of the value at 50,000 pieces of silver. And if you multiply that out, that's 50,000 days work at $100 a day. That's $5 million. What are charms, or omelets, and talus jewelry, religious medals to dead folks, Buddhas, Mexican sun gods, zodiac symbols, hexagons, pentagons, mandalas? What's that? That's one of them crazy looking things that you look at, they give you to stare at if you're in Lamas or in yoga. Or transcendental meditation to induce a passive mind. Egyptian Taha, that's that cross with a little hoop on top of it. Jade, well, the Chinese believe the jade, if you wear it, becomes part of your soul. I was a practicing Buddha, a practicing yoga at one time, and I wore jade for years, and I had to burn all my jade. Jade's hard to burn. Peace symbols, that's a broken cross, Masonic symbols, crystals, pyramids, hex signs, occult objects such as tarot cards, crystal ball, divining crystals, eye-sheen sticks, yoga, transcendental matter, third world art, carvings, wind chimes. That says charm, but it should be chimes. Books on occult magic. What does wind chimes got to do with it? They were designed by the Buddhist monks to attract spirits. They don't attract the Holy Spirit. I remember one lady, she had a familiar spirit that drug a chain through the wall. It's this old house, you know, and she drug it through the wall, and we went over there and we'd pray and we'd exercise the house, and it'd be about a week, and then it would drag through the house again. And I wasn't involved then. And then they decided it was an old house, but got a brand new house, moved all their stuff into it, and it was in about 3 days. And by George, here came the chain in the wall again, you know. And I mean, it is spooky when you hear somebody dragging a chain through the wall, man. How can you tell whether it's a spirit sound or a natural sound? Get a tape recorder. Spirit sound won't record on tape. It won't record on tape. It is not dependent on compression of airways. And so I went over to the new house, and hanging on the front was this wind chime. Cut it down, put it in my pocket. She said, what are you going to do with my wind chime? I said, I'm going to destroy it. Went through the house, couldn't find anything else. And when I left, they never had another sound. A wind chime attracted this thing into her house. You said, well, that's silly. Silly if you want to. You want to have demons in your house, have wind chimes. Worship of idols is worshiping demons. 1 Corinthians 10:19-20. What am I saying? An idol and anything? All for idol, but rather that things which Gentiles sacrifice is sacrificed to demons and not to God. And I want you to have fellowship with God. That piece of wood's not anything, but the demon behind it is. All right. involvement in sexual sin. You know, please, sexual idolatry and sexual immorality. Flee. You know, flee.
Bible doesn't tell you to flee many things, to run away from it,
but it tells you to flee sexual immorality and to flee idolatry and to flee the sin that's so easily entangled. I tell the story of y'all, some of y'all I'm sure heard this before, but we had a Bible study group, and this young single mother came, and she heard that I ate 3 meals a day at the hospital, and she said, "How long has it been since you've had a home-cooked meal?" And I told her, 4 or 5 years. She said, "Well, if I cook a home-cooked meal, will you come eat it?" I said, "Yeah." And so the day for the home-cooked meal arrived, and Bill shows up, you know, and I opened the door, and she opens the door, and I didn't know that woman was that good-looking. Man, she had on an outfit that looked like it had been put on with a spray gun.
And I mean, the lights were down low, and the candles were lit, and the music was on. And I looked in there, and there was a champagne bucket being iced down, and I said, "Billy, you done got yourself in one heck of a mess." And you know, I didn't trust old Billy. I felt all right, but I just didn't trust old Billy. I didn't know what he's liable to do. And so I got strangled, and I went out on one knee coughing, you know. And she said, "Can I help?" I said, "Give me a glass of water." And she went in the kitchen. I got up and ran out the door, got in my car, and ran home. I flee. And I called her when I got home and apologized and told her I had a bad attack of diarrhea. I flat lied. I think she saw through the lie because she never came back to Bible study. She never spoke to me again. And I don't know where her 2 children were. I mean, so she said, and I tell you, I flee. And after that, I never went any place without a married couple with me. I didn't have a wife, so I had Tom and Carol. And Tom and Carol went with me and went over to do an exercise the house once. And went there and the lady met us at the door, and she had on one of them halter tops, you know, and they all sort of hanging out, you know. And she had on look like that was the skimpiest pair of shorts. I think it was a bikini bottom. I wasn't sure. I just looked, and I let Carol walk in first, and Carol gave her the... And then I followed right behind her, and we went into the living room, through the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, back through the bedroom, came back up on this side and back out the front door in about 5 minutes. Fastest exorcism in history. Got out in the front yard, and Carol said, "I think she had more in mind than prayer, doctor." I said, "I don't know, but I'm certainly glad y'all were with me." I mean, you flee sexual immorality and use good judgment. Men? If you ain't got no wife to protect you, you get a married couple to go with you if you're going to minister to some woman. You shouldn't touch a woman. I'd touch her head. Touch her head, maybe hold her hand. Henry Wright won't even do that. He won't touch him at all. The Bible says it's better for a man not to touch a woman. I mean, lust is such a pervasive thing. So flee sexual immorality. For every sin that a man does is outside, but he who commits sins against his own body. And this is the most complete statement about and given and said that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the heathen who don't know God. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is avenger of such as we have forewarned in you and testified. For the God did not call you to uncleanness but in wholeness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who's given us his Holy Spirit. You reject God if you reject it. There you got the conditions for deliverance. If you've got, you got to forgive people. You got to be honest. You got to really want to change. You got to forgive folks. You got to repent of your sin. You got to acknowledge your guilt, repent of your sin, and turn from it. Pray for your enemies. Glorify God. Come out of sexual sin. What is sexual sin? I mean, that's looking at a woman in lust, man. Well, how you do that? First, looks free. After that, you look the other way. Stay away from pornography. If you have a problem with that, you ought to get the American Family Filter and put it on the internet. American Family Filter will filter out 95-98% of the pornography on the internet today. They have people that keep looking and looking, and they will update occasionally. It costs a little money. but it will protect you so that you don't have all these sights running by your eyeballs. And you get tempted just to see what's there. You don't want to know what's there. Stay away from the magic arts. Stay away from grumbling, murmuring, complaining, trying to control other people, yelling and screaming at each other, trying to use anger, rage, intimidation, and manipulation to get your way. That's witchcraft. Trying to find out something outside of God. Always looking for some sort of knowledge away from God. God will tell you what you need to know. What you don't need to know, let it go. Praise God. Well, I think we all ought to stand up. We've been sitting now for an hour and a half, and all the blood has settled down into your feet, into your panties. And you need to get it back up to your brains. Let's hold up our hands and praise God. Come on, praise Him. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we're going to have a mass deliverance service. Those of you who have not been in a mass deliverance service, the first thing we do is a confession of faith. Then we break the curses that have come down through the family line. And then we confess our sins and forgiveness. And then we bind demons. And when we bind demons, I ask you to sit in your chair, keep both feet flat on the floor in front of you. Don't cross your hands. You know, remember we used to tell when you were little kids, you know, if you had your fingers crossed behind you, what you said didn't matter, you didn't have to tell the truth. That's a witchcraft sign. The devil sees you got your feet crossed, got your legs crossed, got your arms crossed. As far as he's concerned, it means that you don't really mean it. He's a legalist, he'll do anything to stay. Spirits are air, and they come out of the air passages generally. Your nose, your mouth, your ears. And most of the times they'll come out as a yawn or a sigh or a deep breath, sometimes a cough. It says the believers shall expel demons. The word cast out is an embargo, which means to expel. To cough, to vomit, to give a quick jerk, throw it out. Let it come out. Whatever happens, let it happen. Don't worry about it. Not asking for manifestations, but I ask you not to quench one. If one comes, let it happen. If a scream comes out, let it come. The Holy Spirit will stop it. The demon comes out with it. Don't be worried about what other folks are going to say. They're worried about their own demons. They ain't got time to worry about you. Just let it go in the name of Jesus. We have people who will come and help you. But you need just to sit and relax. Now, don't play cafeteria. Well, I got that one. No, I couldn't have that one. Just listen to what's said and agree with it. If it ain't there, and it's not going to come out. It might be there, and you don't know it. It just hadn't manifested. You can have a spirit of murder, and you hadn't murdered anybody. Okay, praise You, Lord Jesus. Say, dear Lord,
I believe
that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh.
He was manifested in the flesh.
He died on the cross for my sin. He was raised from the dead for my justification. He ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of God the Father. Ever. To make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a member of the family of God. I thank You, Lord. I confess the sins of my fathers and my sin. Lord Jesus, I break the curses of incest, of idolatry, of illegitimacy, of returning evil for good.
Of
whoredom. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of poverty. The curse of lying. The curse of stealing. And all other curses. In the name of Jesus, I break them back 100 generations. I break them on me and my seed forever. I break the curse of insanity in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be gone. I thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, I forgive anybody who's ever hurt me, abused me, or used me in any way. I ask you to bless them, Lord God. Lord, I confess my sin of lust and sexual immorality. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Now, we're going to wait a minute. If you've committed any bad sins, you just repeat them under your breath very quietly. God. Anything God lays on your heart. I confess the sins of the magic arts, of the occult. I break the curse on me and my children. I break the curse of the horoscopes, the Ouija board, and all other occult games in the name of Jesus. And I command these spirits to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I promise that I will destroy any books, any occult paraphernalia, any idols, in the name of Jesus. I will destroy them when I get home. I thank you, Lord. I loose myself from them and command these things to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. I bind them and I cast them out. In Jesus' name.
Everybody take a deep breath now. Everybody take a deep breath and cough. Everybody. Out. 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 Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. All of it. All of it. Let them go now. Let them go. We break your power. Command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft now. In the name of Jesus. All the Jezebel spirits. All the Antichrist spirits. Turn them loose. Turn them loose. Let them go. All the Antichrist. All the Jezebel in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. All the witchcraft control in the name of Jesus. All the arguing, come out. All the criticizing, all the complaining, all the murmuring, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. Everybody cough. Push them out now. Everybody, in the name of Jesus. Don't be rebellious. Push them out in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't stand there. In the name of Jesus, I don't have that. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Push them out. All of it. Come out now. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Jezebel, go. Go. Tinka. Tinka. I break the curse of abortions now in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of the abortion in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break it. All the guilt from the abortion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ, the spirit of Tinkai. Tinkai, I'm speaking to you. Everybody take a deep breath and push Tinkai out now. There's some people in here who have had abortions. Come out. I want everybody in here to call. Come on. Come on. Call, all of you. Help your neighbor. Help your neighbor get it out. In the name of Jesus, help your neighbor get it out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Let them go. Let them go, all of you abortion spirits. Spirits of murder and anger and rage, come out, and jealousy. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Command you to go. All of you. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Go. 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 In the name of Jesus. Be gone. Every bit. Every bit. Go. Everybody have a seat now. Now I bind the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of rejection and fear. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I bind fear now in the name of Jesus Christ. All fear. Come on out. All the fear. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of being rejected. Fear of not being good enough. Come on out. All the fear. Fear of being rejected. Fear of not being good enough. Come on. Out. Out. All the grasshopper spirits. Come out now, all you grasshopper spirits. Come on out. You grasshopper spirits, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to let them go. All fear.
Let her go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. I speak health and wholeness in Jesus' mighty name. Turn her loose. Turn her loose in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of compulsion now. Perfectionism and compulsion. If I do everything right, nobody can criticize me. Fear of being criticized now. Fear of not doing it right. Fear of not keeping the rule book. Come on out. Come out. Out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Critical spirits. Come on out. Critical spirits. In the name of Jesus. You've just done a little bit more. It's been good enough. Come on out. Come on out now. All the spirits of criticism now. In the name of Jesus. Perfection. Criticism. In the name of Jesus. Nitpicking spirits. Come out. All the spirits of nitpicking. I bind you and I break your power. Nitpicking spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power, nitpickers. In the name of Jesus. Anger, rage, and retaliation. Come on out. Out. Anger, rage. Well, I told you to do it. Why can't you get it right? I told you. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All the anger, the rage, retaliation, and murder. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Anger, rage, and murder. I bind you and command you to go. All the spirits of accusation and self-accusation. Come out. Come out. Spirits of accusation and self-accusation. I'm no good. I'll never be good enough. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the spirits of compulsive confession. All the spirits of compulsive confession. Come out. Come out. Compulsive confession. I break your power in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Touch your people, Lord God. Lord, I thank you now, Lord God. Oh, God, we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, I come against asthma, bronchospastic reactive airway disease. I bind them and I break their power. Asthma, pneumonia, bronchiectasis, come out. In the name of Jesus, bronchopulmonary dysplasia, come out. Corpulmonale, come out. Heart disease, heart failure, bind heart failure, come out. Fear makes the hearts fail, come out, heart failure. Fear from heart failure, from fear. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of God's people. Out. Out in the name of Jesus. All diabetes, come out. Diabetes, come out. God of the belly. God of the belly, I speak to you. You idolatrous devil, God of the belly, I bind you. I break your power and I command you to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Come against all arthritis. I bind arthritis now. Colon disease. Bladder disease. Arthritis. Fibromyalgia. I just bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of God's people. Let them go. Let them go. All allergies and asthma. Come out. Speak healing to God's people. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you. All God's people said amen. Everybody stand up and hold up their hand.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.